Closed Fracture by Light Gets In. Read by Night Tracer. Fandom Hockey RPF, the Pittsburgh Penguins. Pairing Sid Gino. Rating is teen and up audiences. No archive warnings apply. Sidney knew it was broken the second it happened. He was skating fast, stick out in front of him. And then he was on his side, sliding on the asphalt, with his left arm and stick tangled underneath him. The stick broke first, his arm just after. He kept sliding until his skates hit the curb and avoided a faceful of gutter by a few inches and dumb luck. Fudge, Sidney said, biting down very hard in the middle. There was the sound of many skates on asphalt, a collision, and someone shouting. Mr. Crosby? One of the kids asked. Are you okay? Sidney sat up and scooted around on his butt. His left arm dangled, pulsing intermittent shocks of pain up his shoulder and neck. His team was clustered around him, collectively wide-eyed. The tallest of them barely cleared Sidney's head when he was on his ass. Okay, Sidney said. Guys, this is why we always wear our safety equipment. Blood ran down the side of his face and patterned onto his shirt. The parents were converging en masse, and somewhere in the crowd, Sidney heard a cell phone camera clicking away. Holy shit, someone said. Did we break Sidney Crosby? The ER was busy. Sidney waited for 3 hours, and honestly, he would have waited longer if he'd known the doctor he drew would be a fan. Sidney liked his fans. Really, he did. There was a time and a place, and he felt very strongly that he ought not to be asked to talk about the season with someone who was in the process of sticking tweezers into his face. That's a big one, the doctor said, dropping a bloody piece of gravel into the tray. So, that Rangers series was something else, did you? The curtain closing off the little cubicle rattled, and Mario appeared, out of breath and dressed down. Fuck's sake, he said, surveying Sidney from head to toe in one comprehensive look. It's minor, Sidney said immediately, because Mario swore like a sailor during games, and almost never otherwise, so he was probably pretty upset. No surgery. It'll be fine by training camp. Right? He appealed to the doctor for backup. The doctor clearly recognised Mario. It seemed to physically pain him, which was confusing, until Sidney remembered there were rules about this stuff. It's fine. He has my medical power of attorney, Sidney says, waving his good hand. It's really not that bad, he added to Mario. The doctor nodded, visibly relieved not to have to say no to the very large man standing over him. It's a closed transverse radial fracture, he said, pointing to the films displayed on the computer monitor. Non-displaced, so the recovery time should be relatively short. Mario nodded, then swiveled to look directly at Sidney. Did you hit your head? Oh, Sidney said. No. He started to reach up, but he automatically did it with his left hand, and that didn't go very well. We're going to put a few stitches in his face, the doctor said. There and there, I think. I slid, Sidney said, getting his breath back. Hang on. Aren't you guys supposed to be leaving for the coast today? Yeah. Funny thing. When the front office calls to tell me you're in multiple pieces in the ER, I postpone my weekend plans. Mario brought his full attention to bear on the doctor again. Can we get to my head CT? Neck too? This isn't really sure, the doctor said. I'll see how busy radiology is. Can I get a cast first? Sidney said plaintively to his retreating back. Wait, he added, turning back to Mario. How did the front office know? My phone is in my car, and I couldn't remember anybody's number. At least not anybody in the country. They have all sorts of alerts on you guys, Mario said. Apparently you're a hashtag today. He folded himself down onto the doctor's abandoned stool with a long sigh. Someone took pictures, he says. You looked like half your face was torn off. Oh, Sydney said, belatedly catching up to the subtext of this conversation. Hey, he said, I'm okay. I mean, the numbing shots they do here aren't nearly as good as what we get during games, but other than that, I'm fine. Mario scrubbed both hands over his face. Good, he said. Now, let's make sure, okay? Is your car still out by the park? Yeah, Sasha's mum drove me. Okay. Mario nodded firmly to himself. Give me your keys and someone will get it. I'm going to call and get one of our guys in here to look at your films. And Natalie can bring you something to eat. Hang tight. They didn't release him for another 5 hours. The CT scans looked fine. Sydney was told repeatedly that this was a good sign, but not a definitive one, even though he knew that very well. It was decided, after an extensive discussion, not to follow the concussion protocol unless and until some actual symptoms popped up. Sydney understood the concern. He truly did. But mostly, he just didn't want to deal with all of that. Natalie took him home while Mario went to the pharmacy. It was a sad commentary on Sydney's life that he had 2 regular rooms at the Lemieux. One, on its own at the top of the house, where he stayed his rookie year, and off and on ever since, and one just down the hall from the master suite, where he stayed whenever he was injured. And they wanted to be able to hear him in the night. Alexa was lying in wait at the top of the stairs. Oh my God, your face! She said, goggling. It's only 8 stitches, Sydney protested. They'd applied nearly a roll of gauze to him, though, so he felt mummified. Turn your head, she said, and snapped a picture before he could protest. Chill, it's for Taylor. Don't send that, Sydney said, fruitlessly. Argue tomorrow, Natalie said. Alexa, the dishwasher needs emptying. Sydney, bed. March. He slept like the dead for 6 hours, until the various numbing shots started wearing off. There was a trick to finding refuge in sleep from pain, but it was actually harder with more minor injuries, and Sydney'd had it much worse than this. He tried for a while, but it was no good. Eventually, after 3 in the morning, he got up, went across the hall to the bathroom, and squared up to the mirror to assess. The bandages on his face were pretty impressive. Sydney worked his fingers under a bit of tape and peeled it back for a peek. Everyone was right. It looked bad, which disfigured because the broken jaw had been far, far worse. But, superficially, he looked okay as soon as the swelling went down. This was going to take a while. They'd stitched up a few bigger cuts, but there was nothing to do about half a faceful of road rash. There were some other raw patches covered in gauze, one below his ear, where the strap of his helmet hadn't covered him, one on his neck, a whole archipelago of them down his shoulder and upper arm. The cast wasn't too bad. He could bend his elbow, but not his wrist. Austin had signed it, apparently while Sydney was sleeping. His hand was already turning black and blue. Mario appeared in the doorway with a quiet footstep, wearing only sweatpants. He joined Sydney at the bathroom counter, running his eyes assessingly up and down. He leaned around to open the medicine cabinet and produced a penlight, pointing it at Sydney, with his eyebrows raised. Yeah, okay, Sydney said. Mario turned off the bathroom light. The two of them stood side by side in silence in the dark for a while, waiting for the eyes to adjust. Then Mario touched his shoulder in warning and took him gently by the chin. The light flashed, and Sydney did his best to keep his eyes open and not to twitch away. Pupils are normal, Mario said softly. He laid his large palm over Sydney's eyes and flicked the bathroom light back on. Are you dizzy? He asked, taking his hand away. No, Sidney shook his head to prove it, and I can remember everything. Good, Mario said, palpably dry. That will help with the discussion we're going to have about why the hell you weren't wearing wrist guards. I was, Sidney protested, but they were too small, so I, took them off. Mario pressed his lips together, but said only, tomorrow. Now, any confusion? Disorientation. They went through the rest of the drill together, voices low. When they were done, Mario put his hand on Sidney's good shoulder and said, passed with flying colours. Which was unnecessary because Sidney already knew, but still nice. Right, Mario continued. There's prescription Tylenol. The ER also gave you Percocet, but our guys got you gabapentin if you'd rather not go down that road again. Up to you. Sidney made a face, then another one when that hurt. He had never tolerated narcotics well, and it was only getting worse with age. The single blessing of his concussion was the time he'd spent with a pain specialist to find something he could take that actually worked for him. Or sort of worked. Some of the time. And at least didn't make him throw up. Gabapentin, Sidney said. Please. Go back to bed. I'll bring it to you. Mario brought Gatorade and water into the guest room, along with all three prescription bottles. He double-checked the dosage by the light of the bedside lamp, then tipped pills into Sidney's good hand. By the way, he said, collecting the discarded drug information sheets. Do you want to talk about whatever's been bugging you for the past 2 weeks? Sidney put down the Gatorade, wincing. Speaking of raw spots. No, he said. Thank you. Okay. Get some sleep. It took him a couple hours to get back to solid sleep, but once he got there, he stayed out for a long time. Sidney woke up late in the morning with a headache, a dry mouth, and patches of tender bruising coming up from his cheek to his ankle. He groaned his way upright and drank half a bottle of Gatorade. Someone had come in while he was asleep and left his cell phone in reach, which meant they'd gotten his car. Sidney picked up the phone, working it one-handed. His left hand sort of functioned, but he found after some trial and error that it wasn't worth the effort. He had 32 texts. He winced and called Taylor without reading any of them. You're on Puck Daddy, she said, instead of a greeting. Sidney sank back into the pillows. So, what's new? The headline is, Best Hockey Player in the World, Sidney Crosby, taken out by 8-year-old, breaks arm in mite hockey game. Okay, first of all, I wasn't taken out. No one hit me, Sidney said. I just fell over. Oh, well then, Taylor said. That's much less embarrassing. She paused. How bad? Not bad, Sidney said instantly. 6 weeks in the cast, tops. And my face might scar a bit, but that's all. Taylor breathed out audibly. Oh, okay, she said. I want to come down there. Hey, no, Sidney said. I just told you I'm okay. I'm at Mario and Natalie's for a few days, that's all. Don't interrupt your plans. No, she sounded firm and determined. I want to come down there for the rest of the summer. That's what I'm saying. Stay with you. Leave the school from there. Oh. Sidney was the first to admit that he was not always good at figuring out why people did what they did. But this was such an obvious declaration of loyalty. Even he couldn't miss it. It was heartwarming and terrifying. You know I love having you here, he said carefully. But are you sure you want to do that? Yes, she said. I really don't want to cause any more friction, Sidney said honestly. Oh, yeah. He wasn't sure he'd ever heard his baby sister sound bitter before. Because, like, there are more awful things they can say to you. Sydney swallowed. I meant friction for you, he said. You don't have to... You shouldn't get stuck in the middle of this. You're right, Taylor said crisply. I'm not in the middle. I'm on your side. Problem solved. Sydney shut his eyes, weary and dismayed. When did his family start having sides to take? The truth was, though, that her conviction felt good, that the idea of having her here seemed to fill the hollow place under his ribs. Give me a couple of days to get back on my feet, he said, and then we'll talk about it. 3 days, Taylor said, because she knew if he made her a specific promise, he would keep it. 3 days, Sydney agreed. But the thing is, I might not be here all summer. Oh my God, are you going to Russia? Is it a romantic rendezvous? Will you have feelings? Taylor sounded exponentially happier than she had for the entire conversation. Maybe, Sydney said, and none of your business, and shut up. Okay, Taylor said briskly. Figure your shit out. You've got 3 days. Love you. And she hung up. He sighed and started working his way through his texts in chronological order. He suspected the team phone tree in action because his inbox went from nothing to an explosion right around the time Mario was showing up at the ER. Sydney scrolled past a number of sarcastically concerned inquiries about his status and offers to back him up next time he needed to take on a pack of vicious preteens. Flower had watched the entire first season of The West Wing with him once in a single weekend when they were both out injured. He sent only, "Did you come to a sudden arboreal stop?" Gino had sent him 3 texts. The first said, "Sid, 5 minutes later, I come home." And right on its heels, "I come home." Sydney's heart thumped painfully against his ribs. He texted back, "You don't need to," because it seemed the polite thing to say. He itched to call suddenly, uncharacteristically, but Gino hated talking on the phone in English, even with people he knew well. So instead, Sydney texted, "But I'd like it, if you can." There was no answer. Sydney waited, tapping his fingers impatiently on the screen. Eventually he gave it up and picked out a mass text telling everyone he was okay and would be good by training camp. He put in the extra effort to text Flower separately and tell him, no, he had not skated into a tree, and also fuck off. He walked downstairs and poked around the kitchen until Mario found him and banished him to the couch. He ate breakfast there, flipping idly through Saturday cartoons. His mouth was fine, but chewing too vigorously made his whole face throb. He spent the day shuttling between the couch and a chair on the back deck. The kids were all over the place, in and out of the pool, going to soccer and karate and hockey, coming back with friends to play video games. Sydney soaked it all up, quietly greedy. His phone beeped steadily all day, but Gino didn't text, and didn't text, and didn't text. Mario joined him on the deck in the late afternoon. He brought Sydney a water bottle and set a plate of finger foods on the small table between their chairs. They ate in silence for a while, staring out over the pool. "Sorry," Mario said eventually, "but I do need to know what you want me to do here. Your parents haven't called me." Sydney paused, teeth halfway through a slice of apple, then bit down and chewed. "Normally, one of them's on the phone to me, or Natalie, 5 times a day when you're hurt." Mario continued mildly. "Do you want me to call them? Make sure they know?" His parents had spent a fair amount of time with the Muse, particularly when Sydney was new to Pittsburgh. Back then, he had vaguely assumed, when he didn't have his head buried in hockey, that they had become friends in the same effortless way he had become enmeshed in Mario's family. It had been odd to realise, years later, when he was older, and could see these things more clearly, that they weren't friends at all. They were cordial, they shared common interests, but there was a coolness that he could never put his finger on. It used to upset him, these people he cared about so much did not care much about each other. Now he was grateful. Sydney cleared his throat. They know if they want to, he said, and they know where to find me. You don't need to call them. He didn't look over, but the quality of Mario's silence had palpably changed. Also, Sydney said quickly, Taylor might be coming to stay with me for a while. Maybe the rest of the summer. We haven't figured it out yet. But yeah, she might be around. He heard Mario shifting in his chair. Steph will be thrilled, he said. After a while, Mario got up, pressed Sydney's good shoulder and went back inside. Sydney could hear his voice rising and falling in the kitchen, and Natalie's responses, but none of the words. The entire family was home for dinner, which almost never happened. It was a drawn-out, disorganised affair. Mario put corn and salmon and potatoes on the grill, in no particular order. So they all sat around the deck, eating in bursts as food was ready. Sydney felt noticeably better after. And he knew he couldn't put off washing out the road rash anymore. Ugh, this was going to suck. He retreated to the second floor bathroom with soap and peroxide and a stack of washcloths Natalie said she didn't mind if he ruined. Austin volunteered to video the proceedings and put them up on YouTube, but Sydney firmly declined this offer. Leave the door open so you can shout if you need extra hands, Natalie called after him. Sydney did. So he heard the doorbell, as he was working his way out of his shirt, and steps on the stairs, as he was pulling the gauze off his face.
Sid.
Gino appeared in the doorway behind him, reflected in the mirror. He looked awful. Oh my God, Sydney said, dropping a ball of soiled gauze onto the counter. Somewhere Taylor was laughing, because this, Sydney was definitely having a feeling. Gino took two steps into the bathroom, then braked to a halt.
Sid,
he said, lifting his hands uncertainly. Sydney turned and threw himself at him. Gino oofed and staggered, but caught him solidly around the ribs, squeezing. Sydney squeezed him back, knocking his cast painfully against Gino's shoulder and then his head.
Sorry, sorry,
he muttered, pressing the good side of his face into Gino's t-shirt. I missed you so much. Gino looked startled when Sydney checked, but he was smiling too, and he pressed his face into Sydney's curls, given half an opening, like he always did.
Miss you too, he said,
and firmly kissed the skin under Sydney's ear. Then he pulled back and inspected Sydney's face, holding it carefully between his two giant palms.
Ouch, he said, sucking air between his teeth.
It looks worse than it feels, Sydney said. He couldn't stop smiling, and it was tugging at the raw patch beside his lip. He could feel it beginning to ooze again. Ugh. Have you slept at all? You look awful.
Flames, Gino said.
He could never sleep on them, no matter what he tried.
Not look as bad as you.
He brushed careful fingers around the gauze patches on Sydney's neck and shoulder and elbow and frowned at the cast.
You need to wash, he asked,
looking over the supplies laid out on the counter. Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to try and get more dirt out. Sydney grimaced down at his chest. I'm not allowed to shower until tomorrow, but I feel disgusting.
I help?
Gino asked diffidently. Sydney blinked. Gino always went a little nuts when Sydney, or Nielsey, or Tanja was injured, which usually manifested as a lot of heartfelt scolding and endless bossiness. But that had sounded like asking, not telling, which was weird.
Sure, if you want to,
Sydney said.
Of course I want to, Gino said.
He eyed the washcloths.
Here, sit on counter, he said briskly,
sounding much more like himself. He hovered while Sydney hoisted himself up on one arm, then thoroughly scrubbed his hands at the sink.
This is going to be gross, Sydney warned him.
Gino rolled his eyes.
You bleed on me before, he said, and spit. And after Max's Halloween party, you...
Okay, Sydney said hastily. There was no reason to bring up the unfortunate tequila incident of 2008. Jeez. Gino did have a point, though. They had been seeing each other at their unprettiest for years before they started dating. There was no reason to be squeamish now. except that Sidney felt obscurely that there ought to be. Gino tugged cautiously at the gauze on Sidney's neck.
Stuck, he said, wincing. Fast or slow?
Fast, Sidney said, and shut his eyes. Gino took him at his word. He got each bandage off with a decisive yank, clucking his tongue in disapproval over each new wound, as it was revealed. The gauze was stuck down with a combination of lymph and blood, and getting it off hurt like hell. Without comment, Gino used one of the washcloths to dab a couple of involuntary tears from Sidney's eyelashes.
Face first, Gino decided, and all the gauze was off. Lean over, hand on me.
Sidney ended up bent sideways, with his cast tucked out of the way, hanging on to Gino's upper arm for balance. Gino started the water and tipped Sidney's head with a warm palm pressed to his temple. Sidney closed his eyes and held his breath, while Gino sluiced the side of his face with warm water. Then did it again and again.
Sid, have to scrub,
Gino said, sounding unhappy.
I know. Go on.
Gino was as gentle as he could be, but it was still an unpleasant experience. The doctor had said the ground-in dirt and other contaminants would work their way to the surface of the wound for days, though, and Sidney saw that the water dripping off his face was turning brown. Gino accidentally tweaked one of the stitches, as Sidney hissed.
Shh, sorry, Gino said.
He paused to drop a kiss on Sidney's forehead, even though he was rank with yesterday's sweat and God knew what else.
I'm sorry I didn't come to Russia, Sidney said,
when Gino was done wiping at the wounds. Gino's supporting hand was covering his ear, but his voice seemed to echo in his head. Gino was silent for a minute, rinsing Sidney's face again. He picked up a dry washcloth and began blotting gently.
You say you come meet me, he said at last. Spend summer together, meet family. Then you say no, not coming, upset, need time. Then you say you miss me. Confusing, Sid.
Oh. Sidney had for years assumed that, as long as he was explicit about what he wanted, anyone who cared would understand why and wouldn't need to ask him about it. It had been very disappointing to discover how wrong he was about that. He still forgot sometimes.
I did miss you, he said. A lot. And I was going to email you soon and ask if I could still come.
He twitched his shoulders, and Gino grumbled at him, holding him still.
I needed to be here for a while. Neck now, Gino warned him, and turned the water back on.
When he turned it off again a few minutes later, he said,
Your parents upset. You could say that, yes, Sidney said.
Gino scrubbed at his neck. Sidney could see him in the mirror if he twisted his head, but whenever he tried, Gino tisked at him and turned his head back.
I think Sid upset, Gino said eventually. Parents say things, unhappy, make Sid unhappy. Sid change mind about Russia.
He paused.
Change mind about us. What?
Sidney sat up and knocked Gino's hands away. Red-tinged water ran down the side of his neck and onto his chest. I am not changing my mind. Gino's shoulders dropped, like he'd honestly been worried about that. It was one of those moments where Sidney sincerely wished he was better at this. He didn't care, most of the time, that three-quarters of what people said and did was so baffling. Hockey made sense. He usually knew what people would do next on the ice, and Gino made sense. Except when Sidney got it really wrong. And Gino came up with crazy ideas, like that Sidney was breaking up with him. What the fuck? I'm not, Sidney stressed. And I'm not sad, either. Gino tipped his head.
But upset, he said. Parents say things. You come to Pittsburgh instead of Russia.
Sidney winced. It had seemed the unquestionably necessary thing to do when he'd been desperate to get out of Cole Harbour. He'd had a ticket to Moscow, But the thought of a new country, not knowing the language, meeting all of Gino's friends and his extended family, he just couldn't do it. The only thing he wanted was to go home to Pittsburgh, sleep in his own bed, skate on his own rink, and have dinner with the Lemieux, play some games with the local Mite League he worked with. And it had been the right thing to do, or at least the thing he needed to do, but clearly he could have managed it better. "I'm not sad," Sidney said doggedly. "I'm pissed off." It wasn't like Sidney was any better at knowing why he did what he did than he was understanding other people, so that surprised him as much as it surprised Gino.
Parents, Gino said carefully.
"Yes," Sidney leaned forward. "I mean, they're my parents. Having opinions about my life's kind of their job, but what the fuck?"
"What they say?" Gino asked.
He was twisting the washcloth between his hands, his eyes fastened on Sidney's. Sidney pressed his lips together. "Lots of stuff. Not like they're..." He'd been going to say it wasn't like they were homophobes. They hadn't told him he was dirty or wrong. They'd just said they were surprised at him and not sure that this was a good idea. And maybe he should rethink this. And clearly he hadn't considered how he was endangering all he'd worked for with a distraction. And they cared about his happiness more than anything, and they knew what made him happy, and at the last, when he wouldn't budge, after 3 days of talking, that he was selfish. They never said he was dirty or immoral, but it had gradually dawned on him to wonder, in the past 2 weeks, if that really mattered, since it came to the same thing in the end.
"They not like me," Gino said hangdog.
"That's just it," Sidney burst out. "They don't get to do that. They don't get to talk about you." Gino eased back, looking startled.
"Is okay," he said cautiously. "I not upset. Understand. They worry."
"It is not okay." Sidney thumped his heel into the counter of the sink for emphasis. "It's like, they're my parents. And we don't always have much to talk about except hockey, but that's fine. They're family. They're..." He gestured helplessly. "Their team. Or they're supposed to be."
"Yes," Gino said, nodding. "Family is team. But sometimes team fight. Like Brewski, Flower, went on bus too long."
"But you're my team," Sidney said, wondering why Gino wasn't understanding this. "And if they don't... if they can't get that, then I guess they're not." He closed his mouth, shocked at himself, not even sure where that had come from. Gino looked like Sidney had hit him.
"Sid," he said, "of course I your team. Always."
He made a helpless, strangled noise and swooped in for one of his extravagant hugs, where he tried to wrap his arms around Sidney twice.
"Ow,"
Sidney said after a minute, muffled.
"Sorry."
Gino straightened up. He was a little damp around the eyes, which Sidney decided to chalk up to a very long day of travel on top of Russian emotionalism.
"I do shoulder now,"
Gino said a little hoarsely. They retreated into the safety of silence for a while. Eventually, Sidney nudged Gino with a knee.
"Did you tell your parents?"
That had been the plan. Sidney would go to Cole Harbour, Gino to Russia. They would tell their respective families. They would tell Mario at the start of the season. And maybe, if they felt like it, they would tell a few of the guys, the long-time core of the team.
"I tell," Gino said.
He tipped Sidney back into the crook of his arm over the sink, pouring water over his shoulder. And a flutter of anxiety settled in his stomach. Gino made a thoughtful noise.
"Surprised. Think I go back to Oksana someday."
Fair enough. Sidney had spent a while convinced of that too.
"But okay," Gino continued.
He smiled, a sudden flash of teeth in the mirror.
"They say, That boy not cook for you, Zhenya. That boy not give you babies.
I can cook, Sydney protested. I made you one pot pasta.
Very impressive,
Gino agreed seriously. And, Sydney said, on a burst of courage, and there could still be babies, if you wanted. Gino's arm tightened around him.
Yes,
he said, sounding hoarse again.
You make me sad, Pastor. We feed to babies.
Okay, Sydney said. He tipped his head back, smiling dopely at the ceiling. He felt as if he'd been physically battered, like he always did after strong emotions.
My mother very happy then,
Gino said, and picked up the washcloth to scrub out the wound on the point of his shoulder.
You think you make up with parents? He asked carefully.
Sydney pressed his lips together. They never called today, he said. I mean, neither did I, but that's telling. He shook his head tiredly. I don't know. I don't want to right now, but maybe I will, or they will. Crosbys were a stubborn people, though. This was no secret. I don't want to think about it.
Okay.
Gino bent over, squinting at his shoulder.
Small rock, he said,
gesturing with two fingers close together.
Stuck, deep, need.
He gestured again, making a pinching motion. It honestly looked like a clothespin, but that seemed unlikely. Tweezers, Sydney said, and turned to rifle through the medicine cabinet. I don't see them.
Right back,
Gino said, and trotted out. He came back a few minutes later with three sizes of tweezers and Mario.
Seriously, Sid, Mario said,
leaning in to stare at his shoulder.
This is pretty impressive, even for you.
Shut up, it could have happened to anybody, Sydney muttered rebelliously.
You hold still, I get,
Gino asked. Mario nodded, and they flanked Sid, prodding him into various positions to give Gino the best angle and light. Sydney ended up tipped backwards, most of his weight on Mario's forearms, and his head in the hollow of Mario's shoulder. We can still go back to Russia, he said to Gino in the mirror. Gino hummed.
You not want, though,
he said. Well, no, Sydney admitted. He badly wanted to stay right here, but he still couldn't have said why.
So, go next year,
Gino said comfortably.
Is fine. Now hush. Need to concentrate.
Sydney closed his mouth and endured a series of painful tweezer pinches. He tipped his head and stared at the three of them in the mirror, clumped up together awkwardly while Gino hunched over him. And 2 weeks after the fact, Sydney knew why he had needed to come home. It was suddenly easy to butt his head into Mario's shoulder. Hey. And when Mario made eye contact in the mirror, he said, Gino and I are together. We've been... Ow, Gino!
Sorry. Gino said.
Well, really, Sid, Mario said. How about not surprising the guy poking you with sharp things, eh? He shifted his hold, easing a bit more under Sydney's weight. Yeah, well. Sydney's pulse was racing. He could feel it in his throat.
Although, Mario continued, I don't know what I can really expect from a guy who got on rollerblades with a pack of 8-year-olds and took his wrist guards off. You, what?
Gino said, popping upright.
Sid, idiot.
Oh my god, Sydney said to Mario.
Why would you do that?
Mario smiled to himself.
I figured I'd deputize someone with a vested interest, he said.
Gino was still making a series of outraged faces.
Not believe, he said,
and dropped into Russian for what sounded distinctly like a lecture. He leaned back in, though, talking all the while, and plucked something small and sharp out of Sydney's shoulder with a quick flick. Fresh blood welled, and Mario shifted his hold, taking Sydney's weight with one arm so he could press Gore's down with the other hand. He lifted Sydney upright, the flex of strong shoulders, then stood behind him for a moment, one arm draped casually around him.
Stephanie's already asking when Taylor will get here. Just so you know, he said. Then to Gino, do you need help with anything else?
Help smack sense into Hood, Gino said.
Yeah, you're on your own.
That's on you now, Mario said cheerfully.
He squeezed Sydney around the shoulders and stepped back.
Come down when you're done. Natalie's making brownies.
He left them alone. They stared at each other in the mirror.
That's okay then, Sydney said.
He breathed out, sagging a bit against the wall. Gino nodded. He ran a washcloth under the warm water and beckoned.
Come here.
You got them all, Sydney said, straightening wearily.
Yes. Come here.
Gino settled him on the edge of the counter again and stepped between his thighs. He began running a warm washcloth down Sydney's chest, his back, his uninjured arm. Sydney had been fantasizing about taking a shower since coming home last night. This was close. It was blissful.
Feels good, he said.
Gino smiled. He leaned in and kissed Sydney on the mouth, then rinsed out the washcloth and started again. Sydney swayed into him, eyes closing. The bathroom door was still open, and he could hear Mario moving around down the hall, Austin and Alexa loudly talking in the living room, and Gino breathing close to his ear.
Yeah, he said. Let's stay.
The end. Thank you for listening.